This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning.
Good morning.
It is a much warmer morning this time around.
Yeah, it's really warm in the studio.
I'm really happy that it's a little bit warmer. I might have to go downtown, down toward the university a little bit later on in the day.
Yeah.
So, walking down the street. I love walking down State Street, you know.
Sure.
Interesting people you see there, you talk to, you know, all the street people.
Sure.
You know, some are, you know, legends down there.
Been there for a while.
Yes, been there for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I have a winter coat I wanted to kind of give away to somebody who may need it, you know.
Oh.
But you don't carry a winter coat around with you normally all the time.
Right.
Just in case you see somebody who might need it. So,
sure.
Kind of rocking a hard place. I guess that's why they make Salvation Armies, right?
Well, I guess so. But you could still carry it around, you know, from here down to the end of State Street just one time.
I guess I could. I didn't bring it with me today, though.
Oh, okay.
So I'll have to leave here and not have the coat this time again.
Okay.
Damn. Why are you guys, you know, both of you, Sam and you have these long coats. I would assume that yours is some kind of wool.
It's a wool blend, I think.
We're just cooler than you, John.
I know.
I just got mine recently. It was like the weekend before Christmas.
No kidding, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Same here. So, no, I got it, and it really keeps me warm when we get really cold weather.
Yeah.
It's much better than just a short coat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's surprising to see that, you know, Sam and you both have gotten these coats during the winter.
Well, we like to go shopping together and try on clothes.
Maybe they'll start building apartment complexes above the Salvation Army.
Oh, God.
So you guys could buy your clothes much easier.
That's a grand idea.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, it's 28 degrees, so not that bad.
It's balmy out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to see a high today. Well, should we get the roulette wheel?
Yes, why don't we get the roulette wheel?
We haven't done that for a while. Yeah, the ball's going around.
Well, you know, the marble's polished. You know, we have the cleaning service here. They've done a great job of keeping the marble in shape.
34 for high. Yes. The marbles are good.
Is that black or red?
Oh, black.
Okay.
Today.
All right.
Black 34.
Okay.
Okay. Well, here it is Thursday, you know, almost the end of the week. We've got busted pencils a little bit later.
That's right. Yes. You know,
I have
to say that I had a revelation last night. Just after Joe Biden's farewell speech.
Yeah.
I got a text from my MAGA friend in Milwaukee who said, "My God, I hope the door doesn't hit him in the ass on the way out. He's the worst president ever. He's as bad as Obama." Okay? These are the two worst presidents in history, by the way. So, and I just, it occurred to me that after that great speech that Biden put together, talking about billionaires and oligarchs and the direction the country seems to be taking, that didn't impress him at all. That didn't settle in. There isn't one comment in the entire speech that he would have brought up or did bring up to me. And and that's what made me think that perhaps he's attracted to power, sheer power. There isn't anything within the details of that power or policy or anything that impresses him. He doesn't even have to think about it. All he needs is somebody who impresses him and has power. And that's, I think, what he looks at.
Yeah.
Because he didn't bring up anything in the speech. Now, I would have brought up something. Well, I thought this was a good point, but he's the worst president ever. You know, you could say that. But you'll never hear that from Omega. You won't hear details
specifics
of anything.
Yeah.
And I think they're attracted to just the sheer power of things. Because think about it. Trump doesn't really describe any details of his policy. He doesn't know what a detail is. He has no concept of it. He just knows that this is what he wants to do, and he comes across very powerful, you know, and that is what they're attracted to. So that's my epiphany. That's where I'm at on this thing.
Yeah.
I don't think they see or hear any of it. And it, you know, ignorance is bliss. And in this case, you know, it is part of the cult. And I think I'm right on with this, and I'm going to have to tell Ben Wickler when he comes for an interview.
You're going to let him know all this stuff. What you're thinking.
Yeah, and I'm
the
sure
the direction of the Democratic
Ben will
Party.
Say, oh my God, why didn't I think of that?
Yes.
And I know
when is Ben scheduled to come in?
And I know that Sam has that all scheduled up. He was going to surprise me this morning, but when?
Well, we've got a lot of morning left to go. You'll still be surprised.
Okay. Yeah, you can hold out.
Yeah,
he
hasn't.
Right?
He hasn't gotten anywhere. Mm. Okay. Should we get to the National Day calendar?
All right, let's do that.
Okay, let's do it. Okay.
I have that off my chest now. I feel
glad
much better.
Glad you got that.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Here it is, January 16th. And is it Get to Know Your Customers Day or National Without a Scalpel Day?
Yep.
Is it National Fig Newton Day?
Without a Scalpel Day.
What the hell? National Clean Water Day, National Religious Freedom Day, or National Nothing Day? Which day does not belong in that group?
Nothing Day is not part of that group.
Actually, you are wrong again, sir. It is National Nothing Day. Sam, do you care to take a guess?
I don't think it's Clean Water Day, is
it? You're correct.
All right.
Yeah.
Why would you have thought that?
It just didn't sound right. I actually recognized a lot of these days from when we talked about them last year. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, that is scary.
Got too good of a memory.
Right.
Let's find out.
Why don't you get into education? You know that?
Yeah.
Let's find out about National Nothing Day. People across the nation recognize National Nothing Day today. The observance was created as a day to provide Americans with one national day where they can just sit around without celebrating, observing, or honoring anything.
People,
it's perfect.
Most people do that all the time.
Yes. National Nothing Day only reports the days. Sometimes they may contradict themselves. Oh, okay. I see what they're saying. The calendar. The National Day calendar wants to distance themselves from some of these days.
Because it's counter to what they're trying to
Don't you think they're trying to, I mean, they decide these things? I mean, why would they add it in if they didn't want to have anything to do with it?
If they wanted to avoid it, right?
I guess.
Make themselves irrelevant at this point.
Let's see.
Why not?
Well, it may be a good day to celebrate nothing at all. We suppose putting nothing in a glass and setting it on the table might suffice for a celebration. Okay. That's just stupid.
That is really something. I got a whole countertop full of glasses with nothing in them.
Yeah. National Get to Know Your Customers Day, blah, blah, blah. National Without a Scalpel Day. What the heck
Please
does that
tell
mean?
Me what that is.
Each year on National Without a Scalpel Day recognizes the opportunities to treat disease without a scalpel. On this day in 1964.
Yeah.
Pioneering physician Charles Dotter performed the first angioplasty. The groundbreaking procedure to open a blocked blood vessel took place in Portland, Oregon. Not only did the angioplasty allow the patient to avoid leg amputation surgery, but she left the hospital days later with only a Band-Aid.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure why that's celebrate a National Without a Scalpel Day.
Yeah,
is today the anniversary of that surgery, or what's the deal? I don't know.
There's no connection there. I don't know. It's making it up. No surgery, no stitches, no scars. So that must have been performed without...
With a pencil?
I don't know how you do that.
You poke a hole in somebody's leg and you run the stent up?
Yeah, you just got a little floss out your arteries.
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, it doesn't sound.
I would use the scalpel. You know, there's a great bit from Laugh-In many years ago.
Yeah.
Geez, I wish I had that here now. But Rowan and Martin.
Yeah.
And one of them was like talking about the operation. You know, in the old days, they used to have an announcer say, "Well, they're about to take the procedure into this. You know, they're about to apply the anesthesia." You know?
Yeah.
You know, and they always have that announcer in the background with a soft, quiet voice announcing what they're doing next. And
right.
He goes, "You know, he's about to use a scalpel." Well, in this kind of case, they would not use a scalpel, but they would use a Zimmerman instead. And, you know, the doctor would turn around and say, "What? Huh? What?" And then he would change his mind. Right? Anyway,
that was a good bit.
It was a great bit. Okay.
Old Rowan and Martin.
It is good stuff.
National Fig Newton Day today. You like Fig Newtons, John?
I love Fig Newtons.
Yeah.
And all the different flavors now. You know, they have, raspberry figs. And,
Well, you should get a package of Fig Newtons.
Shouldn't
today.
A Fig Newton be fig flavored?
Well, yeah, I it's become kind of a standard name now. It's like, tissue paper. It's it's like Kleenex.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a generic
Xerox
term.
Machine.
Yeah, Xerox.
I don't know if I've ever had a Fig Newton.
Xerox.
Everybody uses that now.
They still use
take it over to the Xerox.
You know, Sam uses
what? What's a Xerox?
Sam loves Xerox machines. He has two of them.
You know, for the longest time as a kid, I had no idea what that meant. I thought it was a swear word, actually.
That's funny. In 1891, boy, we're going back in the history.
Yeah.
Philadelphia baker and fig lover Charles Roser invented and patented a machine that inserted fig paste into a thick pastry dough. And we salute him.
Yeah.
Today. Okay.
Well, that's great.
That's it for the National Day
that's
calendar.
It?
That's
all
plenty.
Right.
That's plenty. We're going to get to the history books yet? Or are we going to wait?
Wait
just a minute?
Got a minute here.
We could wait.
What else do we have coming up on the show?
Well, like I mentioned before, Dr. Tim Slecker will join us in just about a half hour or less.
That's right. And then a kind of delayed response as far as the big story is concerned. That's also a little bit of Idiocracy involved in it as well, because we've got that story from Biden, his final speech last night.
Yeah, his farewell to the nation.
Hit the fan, boy. This is a big story.
Hit the road. Okay. Back with more of John and Gordy in a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX. And a very good morning from the John and Gordy in the Morning Show.
Good morning. The John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you in part by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side, or just go online, verlo.com.
All right, now I guess to substantiate my story, my epiphany about MAGAs, really not knowing any details or caring about details. They just care about power. That's my new theory.
That's your
Because my friend didn't like the speech from Biden, didn't mention anything from the speech, just said he was the worst president ever. And never mentioned one detail from the speech. And I think that's what they see strength and power, and they're attracted to it like maggots to rotten meat.
Wow.
Okay. Wow, that is descriptive. Lynn out in Golden Valley says, yeah, one of Jimmy's night shows set someone out into the interview on the street. Somebody, what? Interview someone on the street with a MAGA hat.
Right.
The hat said, Trump delivered on all of his promises, best president in history. So the interview asked what the specific promise this MAGA hat lover had.
You good there?
I can't read this. I can't.
So the interviewer asked, what was the specific promise that the MAGA hat lover loved the best?
Okay, yeah. I mean, you could add words, in which I should be doing. Stunned silence, deer in the headlights. Yeah. Then he said, you caught me off guard. Need to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, when you ask something specific like that.
And they do that all the time. You know, all these man on the street interviews that we see out there, and they never have an answer.
Yeah.
They just generically like the guy because he's power.
He's power. Yeah. That's
it. The flip side is also true is that they've got a common enemy. They all hate Democrats no matter what.
Right, exactly. They want to wipe us off the face of the earth. So there's nothing wrong with that, you know. Domestic terrorism comes to mind. Same reaction as VP Trump when someone asked him his favorite Bible verse.
Nothing.
He's selling Bibles. Shouldn't he know his favorite verse?
He ought to have at least one or two on standby.
And Lynn brings up a good point. He is the VP. Elon is the guy in charge. So
he's got the power.
He does. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the history book.
The history book. Oh boy.
What do we got? Oh
no. I like the electronic history book. God. Yeah, I think it's more better.
You know, I was down in the Wisconsin Historical Society yesterday.
What were you doing there?
The archives. Well, I was looking at old issues of the Cap Times from the early 90s. I was trying to find articles about you guys. And I got to tell you, they must, I don't know what it is. They keep that place a whole lot cleaner than this book gets every day. I don't know how this thing gets so dusty.
Because it's all digitized now.
No, I taught myself how to use a microfilm reader yesterday, and it was actually making me motion sick.
You kind of like that, didn't you?
I do, yeah. It was cool. It was making me motion sick, actually, seeing all the pages past.
Yeah.
I couldn't look at it for too long.
No, I sent you the dates that you were kind of looking for, but I know it was way too late. I know you still weren't there.
Yeah. I might go back and take a look at some point. Yeah.
What are you looking up the history on us for? What?
To see if it's real.
Really?
I mean, a lot of that stuff you can print up yourself.
Yeah, who knows if you guys actually have any history in radio
That's
at all.
Right.
Wow, okay, thanks, Sam. That's
well, you know, we used AI to produce these newspaper clippings.
Yeah. Well,
did you find anything? I mean, or
no,
was it...
well, not on you guys. I did find some cool, interesting stuff from the Cap Times back in the day. I found the article when they first published what the area code for Madison would be when they were first instituting area codes, and they first gave us the 608 number.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I found an article on Scott Klug back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I saw a really brief one about something that Trump was doing back in the 90s.
Well,
people were complaining about him raising prices at one of his resorts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, back to today, though, today in history, way back, 1547, I'm sure you remember it like yesterday.
Sure.
You know the name Ivan the Terrible?
Oh, what a terrible guy.
He was a terrible guy,
You never invite him to a party.
Ivan the Terrible was crowned the first Tsar of Russia.
I think he gave himself that name, or, you know, was that his birth name?
Yeah, his mother must not have liked him, right?
Apparently.
I think the reason is because he was constantly at war with other countries and the people hated him for it because they never won any of the wars.
Oh, that could be it.
Sad.
So maybe not a good idea for what Trump wants to do with Greenland and Panama and all of those places.
Yeah.
Today in 1883, the Civil Service Reform Act was signed into law and established the meritocracy in government that some people are trying to do away with now.
Mm. Okay.
All right.
And today in 1919, I don't think you mentioned it with the rest of the National Day calendar, the 18th Amendment was ratified. And do you know what the 18th Amendment
did? That was not a good thing to do. Prohibition.
Prohibition, yeah. went into effect a year later, and then it lasted until 1933 when it was
repealed. Yeah, it lasted a while.
That was essentially the TikTok of the day.
You think so? Okay.
Except nobody liked it, though, is the problem. Nobody paid attention to it.
It did not stop people from drinking.
Exactly. Right. I remember reading once about a journalist who went to different major cities in the U.S. and recorded how long it could take him, like, from just walking around on the street to find a drink somewhere. Mm-hmm. I think New Orleans was the fastest. He hopped into a taxi, and he asked the taxi driver where he could get a drink. And then the guy just pulled out a bottle from under his seat and handed it to him.
Wow. Yeah, I thought they were looking for speakeasies. Mm-hmm. In all the states where they're known to have a few. And I thought they were also looking for maybe warehouses where they stored some of this stuff that may still be there after all these years.
Remember the speakeasy here in Madison, the barber's closet?
Yes, the barber's
What was it, Club de Wash?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was
really
going
fun.
Down there.
I know. That was really...
It's right next to the barber shop. And,
yeah.
In fact, I used to meet my friends there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very cool place.
Secret place.
Yeah. It all burned down. Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say, we should go there sometime, but I guess not.
Well, that was a three-floor building of just entertainment.
Oh, they had great bands.
Yeah, it was one of the best places in town.
Yeah. Ah, those were the days. Okay. 6:29 coming up from Busted Pencils. Dr. Tim Slecker will be joining us in just a few minutes on John and Gordy.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Teeth R Us, the world's largest tooth care center. Remember, when you have a bad tooth pulled at Teeth R Us, we'll remove two healthy teeth absolutely free. And don't forget to bring the kids along to swim in our heated, Olympic-sized 40-foot spit sink.
A lot of bonuses there.
Yeah, they add to it. They add to it every time. This is John and Gordy in the morning. Beautiful morning. Nice and warm, balmy
28
out there.
Degrees currently.
Yeah. And it's going to go way up, and then we're going to take out the grill and start cooking brats again.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's get to it.
Well, it is a Thursday morning, and each and every Thursday morning, we go to Busted Pencils, and Dr. Tim Slecker is with us this morning. And you've got a whole bunch of podcasts out there for people to listen to.
Lots of things, lots of stuff going on. I just am interested, though. You have to wait until it's 30 degrees for brats. I didn't know there were rules on that. I mean, you know, I remember my time living in Madison, you know, minus 20 was also a very appropriate temperature for cooking brats.
You know, you're right.
You're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right. But, you know, I got spoiled with the electronic brat machine. No, and, you know, we have a pellet cooker now, smoker.
Okay.
And and you got to plug them in, and you got to make sure they're not in the snowdrift like that for electricity's sake. And so we're waiting until it warms up just a little bit so we don't have all those dangers. And
There's an inside gadget called the air fryer.
Yes, I know. That I haven't tried that yet on brats. That would be kind of an interesting experiment.
Hey,
have you tried it, Tim?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Oh. When you want a brat, I'm telling you, you don't let the weather get in your way. You make other arrangements.
Beautiful.
And the
Okay. All right.
There you
go. Learned
there's
something right away.
I didn't even know that, and I'm here in Wisconsin. You know, I'm a hardcore Wisconsinite. Wow. Bruce, we can learn something new every day, and that's your department.
maybe we'll bust some pencils about indoor brat cooking next week.
I think why not? Now you have a person that who puts out a column, and you love kind of tearing those columns apart. Is that correct?
He's a constant cheerleader for school choice, testing and punishing, and he does not want to admit that the new Republican MAGA party is going to probably go in a different direction when it comes to ed reform, which is just the total obliteration of public schools.
Yes.
And this dude has made, you know, a 30-year living off of making fun of public schools. And I think now he's come to the realization that, wow, this MAGA movement might end his gravy train, because with no public schools to pick on, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
You know, he can't. So this is Michael Petrilli from the Fordham Foundation. And he kind of wrote this piece, and it's all over the place. But, you know, championing that, you know, the No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top years, and saying that, you know, Republicans still have the most to gain by continuing that onslaught.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, we just kind of took that apart and said, you know, actually, when you start talking about reforming schools, neither the Republicans or the Democrats are actually really great at reforming schools to make them places of learning for all kids, for all families.
That's right. You mentioned that in the podcast.
You know, in fact, when you look at the ed reform movement that he's talking about, the No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top era, that was a combined Republican Democratic attack on what we'd say is like really individual abilities to learn, and really turned everything into, can you do a bubble test about math and reading? And you know, those were dark days. I mean, the darker days are definitely ahead, it looks like. But to say that you want to get back to that era, and what Johnny and I were saying in Busted Pencils is, what a unique opportunity right now as public schools are fighting for their lives. Maybe one of the things they might want to fight for their lives and lead with is that we're going to start looking at all kids and really developing places of learning that engage all kinds of kids, like kids who are really good in music and things like that, kids who are really good in art, you know, certain kids who have an ability to shine in different ways other than an academic bubble test.
How hard is that to do, though? I mean, a lot of kids, I mean, it's every kid who has a special ability. Everyone is born with that. How do you focus on that, and how do you specifically help them out with all the other kids in that school?
You hire like millions of teachers and drop class sizes down to 1-to-1.
There it is. That's the solution.
Okay.
You know.
Next.
Everybody's like, there are no solutions out there, Tim. Yeah. I'm like, there are plenty of solutions. Yeah. It's just that you might not. No, I think as the ability for really great teachers to recognize and lift all kids is actually something out there. And then when you talk to teachers, understand that, you know, most of them, that's why they got into it. This idea that they could individually work with children to lift them out. And in fact, the movement has always been, you know, no, teach towards this kind of middle average, normal group of kids who can, you know, score average on bubble tests. Those kids who do poorly, you know, forget about them. You know,
right.
You know, and so that school, Johnny always says this, it's like, you know, we got to get away from schooling and reestablish education. Because the purpose of schooling is actually to separate out, you know, certain groups of kids, elevate certain groups of kids, and then move those certain elevated groups of kids, you know, into like the top performing. But that the majority, and this goes back to our episode we did with Ira Sokol, the majority of kids, hey, they're just things you need to find placeholders, you know, low wage minimum jobs, and sort them out. So this is the time to say, hey, we can recognize all kids. And in fact, you know, we then, the next podcast we dropped last week was with Dr. Howard Gardner, who is an absolute, you know, massive rock star in education. Because about 35 years ago, he actually recognized and put together a position that said, hey, guess what? You know, the intelligence on the intelligence test, that's only one way that certain kids can excel. And he used a real easy example, which was Michael Jordan is intelligent and gifted athletically. Given an intelligence test, people like Michael Jordan might only score, you know, quote, average or seem like the rest of us. But that type of intelligence that schools were measuring is very limited and, in fact, doesn't recognize a full spectrum. And he put forth and saying there are multiple intelligences. There's athletic intelligence. There's artistic intelligence. There's, you know, just all these different ways. And if when you recognize that, schooling then becomes either one way, you said it becomes, oh my goodness, how are we going to ever reach all of these multiple intelligences? Or it becomes this really exciting place where you're like, wow, I could teach this way. I can work with this student this way. This student who's really excelling over here in some form of building things, you know, let's let them just be really great at the things they're intelligent about. And so that's exciting. And
it is.
We're trying to put that forward as going, you know, as public schools are going to fight for their lives in the next 4 years, maybe they could fight for not just their lives, but actually put forward a vision that harnesses that unique, awesome power of individual kids and celebrate learning in lots of ways. Because arguing that we need to maintain public schools so that we can continue to offer standardized tests and keep places like Pearson, you know, thriving with multi-billion dollar contracts. That's not a real nice, exciting vision.
No, it isn't.
So, anyway, that's a whole lot. Sorry.
Well, no, that is a whole lot, but I had that idea a long, long time ago. I want to tout my idea here. But, you know, I always thought that, you know, when you have these athletes that go into college, they always fake like, well, they have to pass this intelligence exam. And I was thinking to myself, just, you know, their ability in sports is so fantastic. Why do we put this intelligence test in when we really should encourage, you know, their talent in athletics? And I always said, you know, why pretend like they have to be really smart in college when their real ability is in athletics, right?
Well, when you say really smart, too, understand that, you know, we've really limited to what we believe smart is. Now, I can hear somebody out there going, oh, so athletes don't need to learn how to read and do math. No, that's not what we're saying. There is an academic kind of situation where we're saying, like, look, yeah, we need basic skills. We need to learn how to be literate. We need to learn how to, and everybody. But to mandate that everybody only excel in traditional, quote, you know, literacy, mathematics, academics, that's as insane to then say to athletes, you can only be smart in athletics.
Yes.
Right? You know, because, but then, so what you're saying, though, John, is that when we punish athletes for being great athletes, but maybe being average in some other academics, that doesn't make sense, because we never punish, quote, gifted, intelligent kids for being really crappy at dodgeball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we like those kids.
I love dodgeball.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you know, they're fun. Those super smart, intelligent kids in dodgeball. Who else are you going to throw the ball at first?
Good point.
I was always really good at four squares, but I don't know if anybody's familiar with that game.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. So, Tim, are there different testing companies that are coming up with new types of IQ tests to sort of guide the teachers?
No.
Yeah, so that's not happening.
No. Well, because there's not big money in developing that. But
well, aren't we doing something like that with AP though? Allowing people to excel in areas that they are very good at by putting them in accelerated classes.
But even AP in accelerated, right, it still really is this form of academic kind of traditional literacy, book smartness, mm-hmm. you know, how long can you buckle down? And in fact, a lot of AP is actually more of a kind of like a you know, like a Navy SEALs approach to learning, where it's like, you know, you will read 1,000 pages tonight. You will write 500 and, you know.
Navy SEALs approach.
And look to your left and look to your right.
Yeah.
At the end of the month, you know, most of these people won't be in AP anymore.
Yeah, that's amazing. It really is. Mm. I just wanted to say that I had an English teacher in eighth grade way back in, I can't remember what year, but we were looking at Great Expectations, and we're supposed to write something on Great Expectations, you know, our impressions of it, so on and so forth. But I didn't do that. I, at the time, was drawing comic books in my free time, and I decided to draw a comic book version of Great Expectations, at least, you know, at least the first five or six pages of it.
Oh, yeah.
And the English teacher was very good, and he wanted me to do it. It was exciting for him to see somebody take a different approach to the assignment.
Yeah, back in the day, you know, we weren't able to categorize you as not smart in English, so the teacher kind of lifted you up. But yeah. No, I mean, that's a great example of what you're saying there, John, right?
How
do we get back to that?
All right. Tim, sorry to interrupt. We will be back with more with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Seven WMDX. You know, when you play this, I want you to play the whole damn song.
Yeah.
I'm afraid we can't do that, John.
I just love this thing.
I know, it's great.
Eliota Haynes and Jeremiah. Lakeshore Drive.
Lakeshore Drive.
All right, we're talking with Tim Slecker from Broken Pencils and just kidding.
Busted Pencils.
I'm just
John.
Kidding.
You These always guys, get that see, wrong.
Yeah, Sam always just, loves it when I do get that wrong.
Just testing you.
Yeah.
This portion of John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a Verlo mattress. You can find them on Madison's east side or west side or at verlo.com.
This is where being leaded is still good.
We celebrate lead.
Yes. Okay. Well, we used to celebrate mercury in our classes back in the 50s. So we moved on.
That's awesome stuff to play with.
It was. I thought it was. We lost an awful lot of it on the floor. But I was talking about, you know, drawing comics. At the time, I was doing superhero comics in eighth grade, and I decided to do a illustrated version of Great Expectations, which would have been a long comic
and a long
assignment.
You're still working on
it,
right?
Yeah, I haven't finished it yet. But the English teacher was just fantastic at accepting that interpretation of, instead of doing a theme or interpretation of what we thought about the novel, I could do pictures of it. And that really, I have to say, it encouraged me a lot in the English class as well. And, you know, I got better as a student, and I had a tremendous amount of respect for the teacher for letting me do that.
Yeah, I had, took a journalism class in high school, and we put out the, you know, the weekly newspaper, and the journalism teacher was just great. It's like, well, what do you want to write about? And, well, I thought I'd write about music, and he goes, well, why don't you do like a weekly review of albums or something? And I thought, I can do that?
Wait,
really? So listen to music and then talk about what I think about it? It was It was a moment for me that I remember.
And then he came up with a bubble test for you.
Look, you cannot. Listening to The Dark Side of the Moon is not going to count anymore. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
My goodness, you know, you're gonna. Who knows what'll happen if you continue down that pathway?
Yeah, exactly.
But isn't that what Gardner's really talking about then?
Yeah.
Is, going for each individual's strengths and intelligence and then focusing on that.
And the question, too, about, well, then doesn't that make the teacher's job hard? Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, guess what? There are lots of people who have multiple intelligences. And I'm going to, you know, I see there's a caller, but I'm going to put this out there and go, hey, guess what? Maybe AI might have something to do about helping us. Just planting that out there.
Well, okay. I know that we were going to talk about that AI, actually a camera on you and AI interpreting your look and your interest level. I thought that was really, that is a good application of AI, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, let's take this caller.
Let's go to the phones.
It's Catherine. I believe we know who Catherine is.
Good morning.
Well, I'm just thrilled that you're having this conversation, as always, with Tim Flecker. And it's right in my wheelhouse, Tim. You know, what schools, educators are doing is not creating workers. They're creating people, citizens, and helping them, ideally, in the best schools, become the best they can be. I graduated from my high school with high honors, and that was not my chemistry grades, I can tell you that. It was because they offered multiple kinds of musical outlets. I was a musician, clearly. My mother was a professional musician. My sister became a professional musician, having gone through that same school. They had multiple choruses, bands, and an orchestra, full instrument orchestra. And so I got H's, honors, in all my music classes. I was a pretty good writer, so I got into AP English or whatever. But I'm telling you, science and math was not my thing, but I still got a degree with high honors from high school that got me into a college for music, because that's what my emphasis was. And they saw that. And teachers like Tim get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome, Catherine. Thanks for pointing that out. You know, and people can say this. My guess is Catherine went to school before we found the holy grail of the bubble test. You know, but thinking about that, you know, that's a great example. And I think everybody listening out there can go, Oh, yeah, I was really good at. And there's probably a time where some of those were able to be seen, but then come back to now and saying, well, geez, if Howard Gardner's pointing out multiple intelligence, spatial intelligence, emotional intelligence, athletic intelligence, you know, scientific, how the heck is a teacher going to deal with all of those intelligences out there? Because that becomes, and yeah, that's a challenging job, but I would say it's our job as teachers to find those unique gifts in all kids and really allow them to excel, like Catherine was saying. But now, actually, we actually have some really amazing tools. And I would tell people, start looking at artificial intelligence as an agent that would help you. So as a great teacher, my ability now to sit down with AI in the evening before I'm ready to go to school the next day, say, I've got three students who are awesome at art. I've got three students who seem to have this mechanical inclination. I have some students who are really having a tough time reading. I'm now going to teach Great Expectations. Help me put together a lesson plan, and boom, AI puts out a lesson plan and says, hey, for these kids, try this. For these kids, try this.
That's beautiful. That's going to be a big help.
Great thing.
Yeah.
Dr. Tim Flecker, thanks for joining us. You can listen to Busted Pencils, new podcast Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and Saturday afternoon live on the Civic Media at 3 o'clock.
Fun to listen to.
Yep.
All right,
Thank
Tim.
You. And Tim.
Thank
We're
you.
Coming back and talk about President Biden's farewell speech to the nation.
A big moment about oligarchy.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.